Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
When you have a biblical worldview, it literally changes the way that you think and the way that you live your life. A biblical worldview is not established on man's opinion. In other words, we don't just sort of see which way the wind is blowing and what do people think in our culture and society today. No. A biblical worldview is not based upon man's opinion or even some mythical concept, but a biblical worldview is firmly established on the truth of God's Word. So we are living in a culture that has said no to God's Word, and we've set it over on the shelf, and we have said, I'll establish my own truth. I'll establish my own rules. I'll make up my own boundaries, and I'll do whatever I want to do. Instead of making decisions based upon what does the Bible say, most people today are making decisions based upon how they feel and what they want. Each person literally becomes his own authority, doing what is right in his own eyes with no regard for God or what God has said in his Word. Folks, we are reliving Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, which says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Do you agree with me? That verse does not describe some heathen foreign country. It describes our country, the United States of America, where everyone is now just doing what is right in his own eyes. Instead of believing that God establishes what is right, God has told us what is right and what is wrong, and we should live our lives according to that truth. Instead, everybody is saying, who cares what God says? I'll decide for myself what is right and what is wrong. That's the culture that we are living in today. We need to understand that without God's Word and the gospel of Jesus Christ, man has no reliable moral compass. And that's what we're living and seeing in our culture today. There's no moral compass whatsoever, no point of reference, because at one time, the Bible was our point of reference. We'd always go back to the Bible, God's Word, and we would say, what does God say in His Word? That would be the guiding force behind what we would establish as right or wrong. But that is no longer the case today. We have rejected the Word of God. We have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And man, or the American culture, has no reliable moral compass. Now, most of us here today would probably say, preacher, you are so right. Our country is in a mess. How did we get here? Wow, boy, things have changed over the last few decades. But can I give you something that I would think that is sadder, I guess, or the saddest thing of it all, is not so much how much our country has changed, but the effect of that change upon the church, the effect that it has had upon you and I as Christians. The secular humanistic mindset of our culture has greatly influenced the mindset of the average Christian in America today. We say, oh, it's just a mess. Our country has gone so far astray from God and His Word. And I just can't believe what all is taking place in America today. And I would agree with you. I would say yes, but can I take it another step further? I cannot believe how far the average Christian has strayed from God and His Word. You see, the mindset of that secular humanist is now infiltrated into the church and into the minds of Christians. Here are some alarming stats that have been given to us by America's Research Group. Now, as I give you these stats, and I'm certainly not naming them all, but a few of them, keep in mind that these are the beliefs of 20s to 40-year-olds who attend church. Okay? 20, 30s, 40-year-olds who attend church. And here are some of them, and I want to put them up on the screen for you. 20.6% say they don't believe the Bible is true and historically accurate. Now, that's alarming to me. Again, we're not talking about people that don't attend church. We're talking to people who are supposed to be grounded in the truth of God's Word. They attend church and they hear the Bible preached. And I guess in our day and time, that's maybe even questioned in a lot of churches across America because the Bible really isn't preached or taught. It's more of a social organization. Thank God we're not that here at Canton Baptist Temple. But 20.6% said that they don't believe the Bible is true and historically accurate. Number two, 27% said that they don't believe homosexuality or homosexual behavior is a sin. And 2 out of 5 said that gay couples should be allowed to marry and have all the legal rights of heterosexual couples. Again, that is a viewpoint that's being expressed by 20, 30s, 40-year-olds who are attending church on a regular basis. Number three, 30.6% said abortion should continue to be legal in most instances. Almost 40% said they think premarital sex is okay. Do you see what I'm getting at? The mindset of our culture has slowly become the mindset of the church. Here's what's scary. The church is supposed to be changing the culture. The culture is not supposed to be changing the church. I want to repeat that just in case you missed it. You are what? The salt of the earth, the light of the world. And so we as the church, we are to be changing the culture in which we live. The culture is not to be changing us, but these stats reveal that the culture is changing us more than we are changing the culture. Another stat, 62% said that they believe if you are a good person on earth, you will go to heaven when you die. That tells me the gospel's not being preached in its purity and in its simplicity and in its power from the pulpits across America. The Bible clearly says that we are not saved by good works, right? We are saved unto good works. Once we're saved, we ought to be practicing good works, but good works in and of themselves does not change our standing before a holy God. 50% do not believe in a young earth, but instead accept the theory of evolution. I've already dealt with the subject of evolution in this series of messages, and if you'd like to hear it, you can get on our website, listen to it under the archived messages, or CDs are available in the bookstore. But I've dealt with that. As a Christian, we do not believe in the theory of evolution. We believe in the creation account that has been given to us in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Less than 50% said that someone taught them how to defend their Christian faith. In other words, we are not teaching the next generation how to defend what they believe. As a matter of fact, at times it's even hard to get Christians today to articulate what they believe. If the preacher says something, they might say amen if they're awake in church. Amen? See, you're not awake. You don't even say amen there, all right? We'll say amen. But if I were to say to you now, articulate what you believe about this particular subject. Give me some Bible verses that back up your belief. then at times we struggle. And if we are struggling with that, imagine the next generation, because if we can't articulate it, if we can't take you to chapter and verse and say, this is why I believe what I believe, then we're not passing it on to the next generation, and they are growing up not really understanding and knowing what they believe, what a Christian biblical worldview is. And so each generation slides further and further and further away from the truth of God's word. You see, these stats prove that we have not been immune to what has been happening over the last few decades in American culture. Things that we once believed as appalling, we viewed it as appalling and shameful, things that we would not even consider to be Christ-like at all, we are now accepting as a normal part of our culture. Things that used to get us riled up and upset, we're no longer upset about. We just say, preacher, that's just part of American culture in 2018. We've just got to accept it and go on. You see, much like Lot of old, we have become desensitized to the immorality that exists all around us. But can I remind you that even though culture is constantly changing, the Word of God, the Bible, has not changed. Hasn't changed. A lot has changed in America, but I want you to know the Bible has not changed. Even in 2018, the Bible should be the driving force behind how we think and how we live our lives as Christians. It should establish our beliefs. It should establish our values. It should establish our morals. Is this ancient book that we hold in our hands today, is it really relevant in a modern technological time in which we are living in America today? And I would like to answer that question for you, and I would say yes, absolutely. The Bible is relevant to where we live today. You see, what does the Bible say? It wasn't just a good question for Christians to ask in the 1960s, but it's still a good question for us to ask in 2018. We should still be asking the question, what does the Bible say? And then our beliefs should be firmly grounded upon what the Bible says. That's where we get our values. That's where we get our morals. That's where we get our purpose and our goals in life. The Word of God is just as relevant and just as practical for us living in the 21st century as it was for those living in the first century when we read the book of Acts. Why is that? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at several different Bible verses here today. I'm not going to keep you real long today, but I want to drive home a point that I really am concerned about in the church today. And I believe that it's not just in churches out there, but it's also right here at Canton Baptist Temple. Hebrews chapter 4, and look please at verse 12, because I'll tell you why the book that you hold in your hands, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the very Word of God, I'll tell you why it's so relevant, why it's so practical to where we live our lives today. And that's because the Bible is a living book. It's a book that is alive. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. Now that word quick is an old archaic English word that simply means it is alive. You see, the Word of God is not passive, it is active. And so the Bible says here, for the Word of God is quick, it is alive, and it is powerful. I realize that the service today is not accomplished in the power of the preacher. This preacher has no power to change lives. This preacher is still working on his own life and working on his own family. And this preacher does not have the ability to go out into the audience, the power to be able to go out into the audience and change lives. But I do believe that this book that this preacher preaches is alive and has the power to change every person's life here today. Every person who is listening by radio and watching by television, we know that this book, the Bible, the very Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, has the power to transform your life. That's the book that we have in our hand. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. This book is not just meant to try to dress up the outside of a person, but rather this book that we hold in our hands goes straight to the source. It pierces, the Bible says, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. What needs to really be changed in our lives is not the external, but the internal. It's the heart that God is interested in. And it goes on and it says, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, we need to understand that the message of the Bible, the wisdom of the Bible, the values of the Bible, the morals of the Bible, the truth of the Bible is timeless. It's timeless. It was good 50 years ago, and it's still good for us today. God is eternal, and God is unchanging, and His Word is eternal and unchanging. Now, let me mention something that I see taking place with Christians today in regards to a biblical worldview, a concern that I have. And I just want to deal with this concern, and then I'm going to finish my message here this morning. But here's my concern. Many Christians are not viewing every aspect of their life through a biblical worldview. Look at it carefully. I've underlined the word every because that's really what explains the statement that I'm making. Many Christians are not viewing every aspect of their life through a biblical worldview. Now, here's what I mean by that. Many Christians in our circle today will accept the authority of Scripture pertaining to the doctrine of salvation. In other words, how a person is saved. My guess is that 99 point whatever percent of you today would agree with me when I say to you that salvation is by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing and minus nothing. My guess is that all of us here today would say, amen. I'm with you, preacher. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. You see, in our circles, I think we would agree on that, and we would say the Bible is the authority when it comes to that subject of salvation, how a person is saved, how a person is going to know for sure when they die they're going to spend eternity in heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. We would all say, amen, I'm with you. Where do I sign the dotted line? We're all in agreement. But then at the same time, God wants to transform our minds, and He wants to transform our lives with the timeless truth of His Word. But here's what's happening today. We have a generation that wants to be labeled as Christian, but at the same time, they want to be accepted by a secular humanistic culture that has rejected the absolutes of the Bible, God's Word. That's what we have today. We have a generation that says, yes, I want that label. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a great verse, John 14, verse 6. But it's just one verse. There's other verses in the Bible that we need to heed as well. See, the whole book, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the canon of Scripture, all 66 books, the very Word of God. Think about it, because when you really, really get down to it, it is impossible to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And that's what a lot of Christians are trying to do today. They want that label of being a Christian. They want to have that label, but then they want to be able to be accepted by a secular humanistic culture in which we are living. Here's the deal. If you want God's approval on your life, then you're going to have to be okay with the world hating you. Jesus said, they persecuted me and they'll persecute you. You've got to come to the place in your Christian life where you realize God's approval is more important than man's approval. And we've got a generation today that wants to dabble in both worlds. One foot in the church, one foot on the Word of God, but the other foot in the world and dealing with being accepted by a secular humanistic culture. If we are seeking to have the world's approval on our lives, then we are not seeking to have God's approval on our lives. You say, show me chapter verse. Look at James 4. James chapter 4. And before I read this verse, I just want you to know I'm not saying this. God's saying this. All right? James chapter 4. Look at verse 4. James 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. God says if you're trying to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church, you're committing spiritual adultery. Wow, that's strong. That's in your face. But we have churches full of Christians all across America that are committing spiritual adultery week after week. Oh, they believe salvation is by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but then they're compromising over here on a lot of other subjects while they're trying to get God's approval and get man's approval at the same time. We cannot have God's approval and experience the world's applause at the same time. If you really stand where God stands, you're going to be labeled as a bigot. Narrow-minded. You're a fanatic. You're one of them Bible-believing Christians. The world will not go, oh, we just love you for taking such a strong stand on these issues. No, the world's not going to say that. The world's not going to like that. But you know what really matters is one day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The words of commendation from our Lord and Savior will matter more to us than the applause of the world. Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12. A little bit of a different message today because I know I'm all over the scriptures and not settled into one text, but that's just the way it happened. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Look at that first part of the verse again. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. As Christians, we are to conform to the Word, but we are not to be conformed to the world. Right? That's an obligation Paul says that we have. He doesn't suggest to you that you not be conformed to the world. He is in the imperative. It is a command. He is saying, don't be conformed to the world. Instead, we are to be conformed to the Word of God, the truth of God's Word and how it applies to our everyday lives. We must not compromise the truth of God's Word. We must not change the truth of God's Word. We must not twist or misuse God's Word so that we can feel good about our worldly lifestyle. We have to embrace the whole truth of God's word, or in reality, we don't embrace any of the truth of God's word. We can't go throughout the Bible and say, oh, I like that. That's true. I like that. Well, that, no, that's not the way 2018. That's not the way it works. We don't look through here and say, oh, I like that. That's a good verse. Boy, I hang my hat on that one. And then we say, yeah, but this verse over here, boy, that's just out of touch. That's archaic. That's not real. I mean, my goodness, we're living in 21st century. You can't do that. You have no right to go through the book and choose what you want to believe and what you don't want to believe. You don't. This is God's word from cover to cover. And so we don't have the right to go through and pick and choose what we want and what we don't want. All of us need to come to the realization that everything in our life must be filtered through the lens of Scripture. We look at everything, every aspect of our life, through the lens or through the glasses of the Bible. Now, it shouldn't surprise us that lost people, that is, unbelievers, don't have a biblical worldview. That shouldn't surprise us at all, right? You look at the lost people and what they think and how they live their lives. I mean, I look at the news and I'm flipping through article after article, and you're looking at it going, my goodness, what a messed up world. What a messed up country we have. And then you back up and you say, but lost people, that's the way they live. That's the way they think. But we as Christians, we're supposed to be different, right? Lost people don't think like Christians, and Christians shouldn't think like lost people, right? I'm getting a few amens today, but I'm not sure if some of y'all are on my side or not this morning. I may have to go out the back door real quickly after the service. You see, they're not going to think like we think, because our thinking is supposed to be firmly rooted and grounded in the truth of this book, the Bible, the Word of God. But we need to understand that lost people are not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. We need to understand we're not battling lost people. Lost people are a mission field, opportunity for us to introduce to them Jesus Christ. An opportunity for us to evangelize them and to show them the truth of God's word. Do you know what our culture needs today? And by the way, if you read this whole account of Paul's ministry in Athens, you would conclude that the real answer is this: a Christian that is committed to the authority of Scripture. Doesn't matter what everybody else believes. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, and we are committed to this book from cover to cover. Not just for salvation and how to get to heaven, but also for how to live our daily lives.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.